This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor at World Sweeper. I am speaking today with Mark Schwartz, president of Victory Sweepers Incorporated, located in Madison, Alabama, and he is going to talk about his new Liberator Sweeper. So welcome, Mark.
Hi, Ranger. How you doing?
Yeah, real well. Real well.
Good.
Well, I'm interested in being able to draw out information from you about the Sweeper. We haven't had an entirely new model Sweeper here for a while from any place. So I guess I'd let you get started with, you know, what your concept is behind it. I know you have a pretty full product line, so it's interesting that you feel that this is a product that will fit a particular niche. In our pre-conversation before I turned the recorder on, I said, use the word slide in, and you corrected me to say what the difference is, so be sure to bring that out. I guess I'd let you take it away from there. What is the concept behind your Liberator product? Tell me what prompted you, and then what it is.
All right. The new Liberator has been designed to fit what we see and what we hear from our contractors in this market. $35 sweeps, although I think that price is too low, and it's hard for me to imagine even making money at that using a Liberator. Definitely not something you can make money at with a $100,000 parking lot sweeper. And that number is driven by the chassis cost. And now we're hearing auxiliary engine costs and diesel. We're going to start seeing Tier 4 emission price hikes that are, you know, 50%. Engines are going to cost $10,000, $11,000 for an engine for a parking lot. So, that's, I mean, I can remember when you could build a whole sweeper for a lot less than that, not too many years ago. So we said, well, what are we going to do? Contractors, your last article was about guys basically handpicking parking lots, and it's kind of scary for a manufacturer because I like building equipment. And we got to looking and saying, hey, what does this market want? What does this market need? And what it needs is low cost, pretty good performance. Doesn't have to be a rock gravel and sand machine. It's got to be a good paper bottle and can machine. And but we got to make it simple. How are we going to do it? The thought is we did the Liberator with just that in mind. It's got to be a high dump. As far as it being a slide-in to me means that there has to be some sort of an apparatus to take it out of the bed and put it back in the bed, and that's weight. And one of the things we wanted to see was we wanted to be able to be legal and be in a half-ton pickup. So one of the ways to be legal is you leave the bed on. We don't remove a bed on a completed vehicle, which would be altering a completed vehicle versus completing an incomplete vehicle, which is a cab chassis. So we said, well, we don't want all this 250-pound structure to hold this thing up and put it back into the bed. And so we ended up mounting it in the bed. So we take the tailgate and the bumper off. We bolt in with the bumper bolted in. We put a couple of bolts through your bed, and you're mounted. Can you remove it? Sure you can. But it's about a 1.7, 1.8 yard hopper. And that high dumps, I don't have a dump height off the top of my head because we're still trying different chassis here and we're trying to come up with a good average. But it's comparable with what's out there today on the in a 3/4 ton line like the CXG or those style units.
I think what people want to know is, can I dump into a dumpster?
Yes. Yes, and you know, whether it's 60 inches or 70 inches, and we're still trying to figure out, you know, whether we're going to need helper springs on the back of the half ton. We're not overloaded by any stretch, but you know, to level it out and make it ride a little bit better. And, as you load, this thing loads in front of the axle, rear axle, instead of behind it, so it's totally the opposite. Plus, the big thing is that it has center suction. It has everything that's sucked up in the center of the head goes straight through the fan, is ground up, and is blown into the hopper, which creates pressure in the hopper. And then there's 2 8-inch tubes that come down back to the head, so you're regenerating the air. And actually, we found that to be really pretty dust-free right now. We don't have a water system on it. Hadn't planned on putting one on it. And so far, that's working out real good. That part has worked out well. Blowing into the hopper versus sucking out of the hopper is a different animal, and we've had to scratch our heads and rethink things because mindset is everything's pulling through the hopper. But so far we're real happy with it. Do we have 2 years on a fan? No, but we're probably going to warranty it for that. That seems to be the plan, is to put at least a 1 year warranty, probably 2 year warranty on the fan, and that doesn't scare us at all, because so far our testing has shown that the fans are really going to actually hold up maybe even better than current fans. in a regular regenerative system, because we're not pumping any sand and gravel through this thing. It'll pick up a little sand and very little gravel, but paper bottles and cans, that's what it eats, and it does a pretty good job at that.
Well, and I think what that article that you referred to from Crown Maintenance, doing their pickup, they have people out there doing the cleanup, and they don't ever pick up any of that other material. But
right.
They're doing it all by hand. They're doing it in the middle of the night, all kinds of weather, that sort of thing. And of course, there's a danger factor in a lot of places in the country too. So hand picking, is, we're not going to get into that, but it's
right.
It's fraught with peril, and it's fraught with safety issues, and it's fraught with weather issues and employee issues and all of those kinds of things. But yet, if the answer is the other guy gets the contract because he's got a crew out there handpicking, and so I can't be competitive with any of the sweepers
right.
I have,
right.
Well, now. So I'm assuming there's no type of curb broom, curb blower, any of that.
Well, there is not a curb broom at this time, but there is an optional clean air blower that you can get with this machine. So you can have a hose out your door window, your driver's side window, if you want that. And I think that's going to be pretty popular. It's a hydraulic driven clean air blower with a lot of power. The engine is a 25 horsepower Kohler. It has plenty of horsepower, probably almost double what we need, and we did that on purpose so we could lug it a little bit and get the RPMs up on the fan. It is a 18 inch diameter fan, and it spins, depending on what you're sweeping, it'll spin at 1500 to almost 2000 RPMs. It'll go faster than that, but that's where we've governed it at, because it seems to do a pretty good job right there. You don't have to run this hard. Also, even though it's a 1.7 yard hopper, you have to remember, almost everything you're putting in there is getting ground up before it goes in there, so we have a pretty good compaction rate. You're not compacting plastic bottles, it'll chew them up a little bit, but really paper and aluminum cans, that's the kind of stuff we're seeing really getting chewed up and packed in there pretty good.
Well, I think that will be people's biggest question, what it is to me anyway, is that you're putting debris through the fan. So
right.
That has to be something, of course. I think you're approaching it the right way, is to warranty it and
right.
take that.
Well, and that was a huge concern. And there was a sweeper that kept coming to mind. And if whoever listens to this interview, if you have information on this sweeper, it was called a Bel Air, and I think it was built up in Oregon or Washington, and I'm going way back here, but it was huge on the West Coast. I mean, there was lots of them out there, and everybody in the sweeping business had a Bel Air. And you bought the kit, which came with an engine and a fan connected to it, and a fan housing and a frame kit, and then you went to, in those days, it was Home Depot, Builder Square in those days. You bought your parts and your wood and your hardware, and you built this thing yourself. It was basically a wood non-dump rake-out sweeper, and they mounted, most of them were mounted on Ford Couriers. You could mount them on a full size, whatever. But the whole thought was everything sucked through the center, and it basically blew all of the debris out the top. There was no screen, there was a screen in the top, but there was no roof on this thing. It blew all the dust in there. Kind of a dusty little setup. Regenerating like we've done has fixed a lot of that. But the other thing was you'd probably get 400 or 500 hours on a fan. The fan would start wobbling. Next thing you know, you'd wear a bearing out in the engine because it was direct drive. So I knew that was the issue. So the first thing we did is we belt drive this fan so that we wouldn't have that problem. Second thing is there was no such metal as Hardox in 1968 or 70s, in the early 70s. I mean, it just wasn't. So today, we're seeing 5,000 hours plus out of a fan that, even with the abrasion resistance of the 80s and early 90s, you couldn't get more than about 1,500 hours. So fan material has made that, I think we're going to get a lot more life out of it. Plus, again, sand is what wears out fans, not paper bottles and cans. So I think we're going to be okay.
Well, we are so used to technology and it changing, and we change our cell phones out. We throw our laundry in the hamper and leave our cell phone in the pocket because we're going to get a new one tomorrow anyway. And yet we don't think about what the changes are. Speaking for myself anyway, I don't think about the changes in chemical techniques and physical properties of some of these things that are out there in an industrial setting. And you especially are there in the hotbed of Marshall Space Flight Center in NASA's where they built the engine for the space shuttle. And I know there's a lot of technology that just came out of that, let alone around the country and around the world. So,
well, I remember when we started Victory, we couldn't get our hands on any Hardox material for fan blades, and one of the reasons is that they'd sold out for 2 years for the war, or a year and a half. They'd sold out their production, and they basically laughed at us when we called down to Hardox to try and buy material. The good news was we were smart enough to go find scrap. That was cutoffs of people who built dump truck bodies and things like that, that they didn't know what to do with it, and it was perfect size for our blades, and that's what kept us alive, because we really were concerned about that. But today, production's increased a little bit, business is slow, so you can buy Hardox in all different kinds of hardnesses, and let me tell you, if you do your homework on that, they've got some Hardox that is actually it's pretty amazing what you can do with it and what it will resist. And 20 years ago there was no such thing. So we're happy and we're confident that this fan's going to last. And if it doesn't, we've tried to set this thing up to where it's pretty easy to remove. It's not nothing. It's not a quick disconnect, but it's easy to remove and easy to replace. So we're not worried about that at all. We really aren't.
Do you see this as a more than a backup sweeper? Certainly, it's a nightly route sweeper for low margin accounts, or is it a sweeper that you think can go out and replace a route for what we think of as a standard either twin engine or single engine chassis mounted sweeper?
Well, you have to remember that when we originally built the 348, which evolved out of the 344, the 345, the 346, and the 347. When we built the 348, the thought was the guy would sweep his parking lots at night at a half throttle or a quarter throttle, and then when he rolled in the morning, he'd pitch the keys to the day shift guy, and that guy would go out and sweep construction with three quarters to full throttle, and that you get double use out of the machines. The problem today is that kind of sweeping is just about gone. I mean, it's not gone, but it sure isn't what it used to be. So some folks have transitioned into the just sweeping parking lots, and sweeping a parking lot with a Mark II or even a DX does a great job, and if you throttle it down, it's actually fairly efficient. The problem you've got is it's the chassis costs have gotten the initial cost so high that it just doesn't make sense anymore, and that's what helped or caused us to have to rethink our business model. And I keep saying we're chasing the bottom end, but hey, that's what parking lot sweeping is today. So, you have to know what your market is, you have to know what your customers need, and I'm a firm believer if you'll fill that, no matter what it is you're building, no matter what size it is, you're going to make some money, and you'll continue to grow. And when the market improves, you'll improve right along with it.
And you'll be providing a product that lets your customers make some money too, which means that they can grow and come back.
Well, Ranger, let's face it: if our contracting customers can't figure out a way to make money and to be profitable, where's my role in this? I mean, I'm out of business. I see and hear this $30 and $35, all the horror stories about the USM services and all of those stories, and I keep thinking about what we used to sell when you and I used to write you wrote it, but we'd collaborate on American Sweeper, and we used to sell the fact that there'd been 10 lawsuits overturned in the state of Alabama because the guy slip and falls because the shopping center paid to have their lot swept on a consistent basis.
Well, that's right. Today, when you can show that through a GPS unit conclusively that you were there and that you were there sweeping and picking up the fines and so forth. And that's another reminder to listeners, and this is not legal advice. Check with your attorney on this, but in my understanding is you should not have agreements that say that you are cleaning a parking lot, that you are sweeping it.
Right,
and,
that's a good point. But that was something we sold. The other thing we used to sell a lot, and it was all, this wasn't smoke and mirrors, this is true things that you could sell, and they had real value to them, is that if you swept with an air machine, especially something that would pick up sand and gravel, that you could reduce your waxing or re-waxing of the floors inside the shopping centers at least one time a year. Sometimes I've heard it as many as three, but I think one is, you know, and that's a big number. I mean, that was in those days, you tell the guy he's going to save $10,000 a year waxing his floors.
Well, and then striping lasts longer as well.
And then striping, and you know, and you have an association going now, and to me, the associations in this industry have not done their job as out pushing that to the shopping centers. Nor have the contractors. I'm not pointing any fingers, but I just if we get hung up and start pushing this price, I mean, I don't, you know, how low can you go? Because we're playing the big sweeping limbo game today now, and it's tight out there. It's tough out there.
Yeah, there's no question about that whatsoever. And those are the things that need to get stressed.
Right.
Not just contractors' bottom lines need to be stressed.
That's right. The total cost of keeping your center up, whether it's inside or outside, little things matter. And I don't know if a lot of these new managers coming in know that. I mean, the old guys knew it because we told them. We taught them. But the new guys coming in, you know, they're all about, they're looking at a budget, and they got to pull 10% out of it. That's their job. And, you know, they may be pulling 10% out of the sweeping while they're adding 15 to the waxing of the floors or restriping of the parking lots or whatever.
Right, right. Your total CAM maintenance bill is what needs to be looked at, but getting them to do that is certainly difficult. Now, for those listening who may be newer to the industry and so forth and don't know Mark Schwartz's you know, prior role in this, he grew up in Schwartz Industries Incorporated, which his father founded, and at some point that was sold to Alamo Group, and sometime later, Mark formed Victory Sweeper. So that's what we're talking about here.
Well, and while at Schwartz Industries, you authored a magazine for years that really evolved out of an old newsletter from Schwartz Industries. That turned into American Sweeper magazine, which is, to me, was we were always out there trying to educate not only our customers, but giving them something hard copy that they could walk in and give to the shopping center owner that would help educate him too. And you know, it's all dollars and cents. It's something that I'm afraid if we don't get out there and start selling the pluses of sweeping a parking lot again, we're going to be back to aesthetics and hand-picking works. If it's just aesthetics you're looking at, you know, hand-picking is just as good as a $100,000 sweeper when that's all you're looking at.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get back to this less than, I assume, $100,000 sweeper that you're calling the Liberator.
Right.
Are there particular chassis that are better for this than others? What kind of pricing are we looking at?
Well, it's designed to fit in any full-size truck. It won't fit on a Colorado or a Ford Ranger, but it will fit on a half-ton pickup, so you don't have to have a three-quarter ton. The C1500 or the Ford F-150, either one of them, full-size, it'll go on the shortest wheelbase up to the longest wheelbase. It sells, today we're running, the launch price is $39,900. That includes the brand-new 2012 C1500 chassis, has a V6 in it, so you get good fuel economy. A little bit better, I say good, it's a little bit better, but it's a lot less expensive to buy a V6 chassis than it is to buy a V8 chassis. And that's where some of the price savings comes in. So you're in business for $39,900. If you want to put this in the back of your truck, you're about at $19,000 for the sweeper. So.
And right there, that shows what chassis are running these days.
Right, that's right. And there's not a lot. There's a little bit of markup in that, but that's actually fairly low right now. So 13s are going to go up another $400-$500, and you know, the trucks always go up. There's never. I don't know. I look back at the first sweeper we built in the 70s, and it was $5,300 for the sweeper and $3,500 for the truck, of a package sold for $8,800. And you take that same portion and assign it to the new sweepers today. And I mean, today we're happy to be at 50% of the cost, and that's, you know, our margins have not grown that much either. So it's a tough market right now.
Will there be a diesel option, do you see, in the future? Or
I don't think so. I think diesel. The challenge of emissions and the cost of redoing the emissions, catalytic conversion, all that's all been absorbed in gasoline to where they figured it out. Diesel's still figuring it out, and the cost of figuring that out is is, I think we got about 10 years worth of technology shoved down our throat in about three, and we've had to pay for it, and that's what's run these prices up so much. So, no, I think diesel's not in the picture for a while.
I'm thinking about the people in the snowbelt areas that, you know, might want to choose a pickup out of their fleet that has snowplow capabilities, four-wheel drive, something or other.
Absolutely.
So how long is it actually going to take somebody to pull this Liberator out of their chassis bed and put a snowplow in the front? And you can, minus putting the snowplow in the front, what are you talking about, taking this out and putting it back in?
Well, first off, you could mount, this is self-contained. It has its own battery. It has its own fuel supply. So if you want to put this in a diesel chassis, you can do all that. As far as removing it, you probably, with a forklift or an overhead hoist or something, you probably unbolt this and lift it out in less than an hour. I mean, there's really, because it's self-contained, you really have about 15 bolts and this thing comes out. Most of those are down with the bumper bolts in. So it comes out pretty quick.
Well, that seems like that adds certainly some amount of versatility to the machine, as well as lowers the cost.
And we're aluminum on the body. We have a steel frame, but it's aluminum body, so you don't have to worry about the corrosion factor as much on the aluminum as you would on steel. And, of course, there's a huge weight difference. And we've looked at plastics and all that, and I like plastic, but I don't know. There's some things I don't like about plastic too. So I think it's a great start. I think the machine is going to sell. I know it is. We've already got several orders, and it sweeps good. It doesn't sweep great, but that's not what we're trying to build here. I'm so used to trying to make whatever you drive over, it picks it up. And that's really not what that's not what folks want in the parking lot side today. They want something that picks up everything you can pretty much see, and not worry about the fines. And so that's what we're building.
Well, I'm not surprised that coming off your drawing board there would be a sweeper that seems to fit today's requirements in today's market. And what seems to be needed is more low-end rather than top-end.
It's what I do, Ranger. It's what I've been doing. It seems like my whole life here, and I enjoy it. I mean, this has actually been a fun project because it's even though it's still a vacuum sweeper, it's totally different than what we've been building, and it's caused us to have to scratch our head. And we actually come up with a couple of new product ideas that you'll be seeing in the next few months were derivatives of what we've worked on here. So I mean, that's what I like about this business. I like building sweepers.
Well, it couldn't be a better place to leave it unless you have something else to add in.
Appreciate everything you're doing. I appreciate the fact that we have an opportunity to kind of tell our story a little bit here. So keep up the good work, Ranger.
Well, much obliged, and you as well. And it's an interesting time to be in the industry. It's a very challenging time to be in the industry, and I think it does throw a gauntlet down for me to find more ways to be able to sell the concept of sweeping, the value of sweeping, and what it adds in addition to just keeping the parking lot clean. So
absolutely.
We've been speaking with Mark Schwartz. Mark is the founder and president of Victory Sweepers. They're located in Madison, Alabama. You can find them at victorysweepers.com, and your toll-free number is 866-507-9337. Thanks again, Mark.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.